Sing. Preview of Women's Day today. Amen. We're going to get right to our text in the book of Luke. We're still in our series on outrageous conversions. Luke chapter 13. Very familiar text. Very familiar text. We're going to read verses 10 through 17. Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand, if you're able, as we read God's holy word. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself.
Amen.
And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work, and them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. And the Lord answered him and said, Thou hypocrite,
come on.
Do not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering. And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed.
Come on now.
And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him.
Come on.
Precious Lord, we thank you for your written word. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who you send down from heaven to seek and save the lost. Father God, we ask right now with you to send the Spirit of God out on a seeking mission this morning. Look upon this congregation, Father God. Touch a lost soul. Strengthen a saved soul. Fill someone, Father God, with your Holy Spirit on this day. And let someone leave here today who came in not glorifying God, but let them leave glorifying God, knowing that they have been in the presence of the living God. Father, we pray in Jesus' name today. Amen.
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 Amen. We're talking about outrageous conversion. We've talked about Levi, the publican. We talked about Zacchaeus in a sycamore tree. And Jesus told him to make haste right now. Well, how many know we serve a right now God? He may only call you once. He called Zacchaeus and Zacchaeus made haste and came down. We talked to the Philippian jailer. The Philippian jailer was on the verge of ending his life when God, through the person of the Apostle Paul, called him and said, stop. Oh, somebody needs to stop today. Somebody needs to stop today. We talked about a lunatic. We talked about a lunatic last week. I believe it was a lunatic full of demons, full of devils. And God cast them devils out of him. And I mean, you know, everyone we talked about represents us.
Amen.
The lunatic represented us.
Yes.
Zacchaeus represents us. Lost. The jailer represented us. This woman, bound over for 18 years, represents us. We might not be bound over physically. We may be able to stand up tall with our chin to the sky. But inside, we're bound over. We got a crooked spirit. Verse number 10, Jesus is going through on his way to the cross. I heard Brother Mike say we're going through transition. I don't know if anybody heard the key word that he said. He said we're going through. He didn't say we were in. I don't know if he thought about that or not. But he said we're going through transition. Verse number 10, here's Jesus on a mission. Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. The Son of Man came teaching and preaching God's word. He did miracles and healings just to authenticate that he truly was God sent from heaven in the person of Jesus Christ. He didn't do miracles just to entertain folks. He didn't announce that he was having a healing service.
Amen.
He didn't have you sign a card saying what your illness was. And when you were lined up, he didn't turn you away. The Bible says he healed everybody. You would have often found him at the hospitals if they had hospitals in that day. He probably just camped out. Not like these fake healers of today.
Amen.
Who heal without the word being preached. If you study God's word, when God healed, he healed after the word was preached.
Come on now. Come on, preacher.
Verse number 10 said, and he was teaching.
It
didn't say he was singing. There's nothing in the Bible says ever that Jesus was singing. He came to preach, and he was preaching and teaching. And here on this occasion, he is teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath.
Yes.
Now, I have here in my notes a few things about teaching, because those that come here often know that we have a teaching ministry.
Yes.
I'm not going to run up and down these aisles. I'm going to be hanging on to this pulpit for the next 45 minutes. Teaching this Bible. And I have a big Bible. I have a lot of teaching to do. Listen what he says. He said he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. When you come to the house of God, the word of God ought to be taught in a way where you can understand it and follow it. The preacher shouldn't be popping all over the place. There's a time and a place for every conversation, but when the man of God opened up the word of God ought to be taught, and Jesus was in the synagogue teaching.
Amen.
In Matthew 4:23 says, Jesus went about all of Galilee teaching. Matthew 5:1-2, the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, and it said that Jesus opened up his mouth and taught them. He taught them. Matthew 7:29 said he taught with authority. And if the man of God has authority in the pulpit today, his authority is only the word of God.
Amen.
Luke said he preached so powerfully that they wanted to kill him. Oh, we need some preachers that the world want to kill. We need some preachers today that the world just want to kill. Preachers that shut down stuff. Preachers like Paul who went to Ephesus and preached so hard that he turned the city upside down. Imagine a man of God would come on the scene and go to Las Vegas or Atlantic City and shut it down. You're going to get some rocks. You're going to get some stones. When the man of God come on the scene and folks say, well, you know what? I'm not going to the ball game on Sunday. I'm going to church.
Amen.
That preacher going to get some stones.
Yes, sir.
He was teaching. He was teaching in one of the synagogues. He taught every synagogue that he went in. He would come into a synagogue like today, and you would have a ruler of the synagogue who made sure that everything ran decently in order. And if a visiting priest would come in, or a rabbi, as Jesus was, he would have the opportunity to preach. And this is what Jesus did. And he came into the synagogue, and it says, on the Sabbath. And I know we can get confused with the Sabbath. You know what Sabbath means? One thing. Rest. Rest. We have a Tuesday Sabbath. Okay? Don't get caught up on Sabbath. We have a Sunday Sabbath. When Jesus showed back up on the scene and he was resurrected, he always appeared on Sunday. So we consider Sunday our day of rest. Some folks come into church and rest. Amen. I ain't picking on you, Jeremy. Verse number 11. Listen. Jesus was teaching. He was teaching. And it's hot and we've been working. Some of us is hot and working. And I understand.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
I'm not sitting here saying, you know what, but I done nodded off sitting where you guys sit.
Amen.
Amen.
I took a lot of elbows from my wife over the years.
All right.
Dion, you ain't the only one she elbowed. Listen. And verse number 11. And behold. Now, remember last week we talked about three things that has to happen in every conversion experience. There has to be, number one, confrontation. Somebody took some notes. There has to be a confrontation. There has to be a time where you have a personal run-in with Christ.
You got to have one.
If you say you had a conflict of interest, God came into your life and said, you need to repent. For the kingdom of heaven is near. And you have that conversation. And you can say, I don't want to hear it. Or you're going to change. And then you're going to realize the compassion of Christ. That he's a loving and tender and kind hearted God. Oh, for grace are you saved through faith. And not of yourself. It's a gift of God. And that gift is a person of Jesus Christ. And then the third thing that has to happen is a conversion. There has to be a change. There has to be a turning away. There has to be a change of mind, body, and soul. And then that conversion comes. But today I want to add one more point. You're going to have a confrontation. You're going to have that compassion of Christ you're going to be introduced to. And then you're going to have that conversion period where you say, I'm not the man I used to be. I'm not the woman that I used to be. I'm at the class reunion last night, and some folks still, after 30 years, you still a fool. You still crazy. You still just as wild as you. You know what? After 30, 40 years out of high school, I thought I heard somebody preach this morning. When I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I became a man or a woman, I put away those things. Some of us need to put away some stuff. Some of us been childish too long. The fourth point is persecution. See, the moment that you decide to make a break, the moment you decide to make a break, like the lunatic we talked about last week, when he seen Jesus, he made a break. He ran to Jesus, knowing full well that some demons was running right behind him. And when he came to speak to Jesus, called him Lord, the demons took over from there. The demons took over from there. You understand one thing. The moment you get saved, your demon network, they'll line you up on Facebook or wherever. Put it on Facebook. Oh, I got saved today. Told a few people, that's what you doing these days? I'm a pastor. Oh, that's nice. That's what they mean. That's nice for you. Okay, I'm still doing my thing, and boop, they get away from you.
Amen.
If I'd have told them I ran a nightclub, you know, come to the club and you drink all, you know, if you come, you drink all day, I'd have had a crowd around me. Listen, verse number 11. And behold, here's the word of God said, watch this.
Yes.
Pay attention. Something wonderful is about to happen right in your presence. And behold, there was a woman which had, and that word had, circle, I circled, had a spirit of infirmity. And I know Jonathan over there saying, what is a spirit of infirmity? Well, what is infirmity? That's a disease. That's a disease that we're all born with. It's called sin.
Yeah.
It's called sin. And if you feed it, it gets stronger. It gets bigger to where it will weigh you down. We sang the song, I was sinking. Deep in sin. The weight of sin will wear you down. Watch this. Psalm 38. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful psalm. Psalm 38. I'm not going to wait for you. Listen to what he said. Listen to what David said. David's going through. He's going through. He's talking to himself. He starts off talking to God. He said, "Oh Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath." Oh, that sin wait on you. That sin will wait on you. "Neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure," because all sin is against a thrice holy God. "For thine arrows stick fast in me." You ever felt like you were just shot up? You will if you don't have the whole armor of God. That's why Paul said, get the shield of faith so you can withstand what? Them fiery darts. Here's David saying, "For thy arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore." David was just being worn out by his sin. He said, "There is no soundness in my flesh because of thy anger. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin."
Yes.
Oh, I see folks today out there in the world, they're doing their thing and they're acting like they're having a wonderful time. But you know what? They have no rest in their bones. The Word of God said the pleasures of sin are but for a season. And you watch some of these football players, they play their career and you watch them, and as soon as it's over, they gain 500 pounds. Knee surgery, shoulder surgery. Some of these guys are committing suicide because of all the concussions that they had. Look at verse number 4 of Psalm 38. "For my iniquities are gone over my head." He's drowning in sin.
Yeah.
"As in heavy burden, they are too heavy for me." Jesus said, "My yoke is easy. My burden is light." Number 5, verse 5. This is what it said. "My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness."
Foolishness.
But the decisions that we make in our life, the foolish decisions we make, will destroy us.
Amen.
Verse number 60. "I am troubled. I am bowed down. I am bowed down greatly." Just like this woman. "I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long." What a picture of sin. What a picture of sin. And here's this woman who is bowed down with the spirit of infirmity 18 years. 18 long years. And she was bowed together. One of the spots said that means that her back was just fused, and she was like the hunchback of Notre Dame. A hideous looking thing. Probably once a beautiful woman. But sin had just wore her down where now she was hideous. Been with so many men, she's shamed. It's a picture of just don't want, you can't look at no one. Just evil. All about her. And listen, she had the spirit of infirmity for 18 years. And all she could see was the earth. All she could see was dirt. The dirt that one day, if God didn't come into her life, she would be buried in. She had the spirit of infirmity for 18 years. She was bowed together and could nowise lift up herself. Let me tell you something, folks. When sin gets its grip in you and squeezes you, you are powerless. You are powerless to the power of sin. Satan is not playing. We were talking about yesterday, he's like a python. Some of us watch the python movies, and these pythons will get around you and just squeeze the very life out of you. 1 Peter 5, they say, "Our adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." And he's looking for folks that are sin laden, worn out by sin. He's not looking to chase no healthy sprite antelope all over the doggone desert. They're attacking the weakest one.
Yeah.
If Satan come in here right now, he's going to attack the weakest individual here.
Yeah.
And many mothers die and suffer because they're weak children they're trying to hold on to, trying to protect. Talk to people there up there. These young boys are killing folks and they're putting their houses up for collateral, for bomb. Then the son run away anyway and they lose everything. She had no power. And if you're here today and you're trapped in sin, you have no power.
Right.
You sit here and say, well, you know, I there's nothing I can do about this. And you're right. You're right. But thanks be to God.
Yes, Lord.
If you're here, you're in the right place today.
Amen.
Because see, the power of God to heal is here. She had no strength of herself. But verse 12, wonderful verse. Wonderful verse. A lot of things happening in verse 12. And it says, and when Jesus saw her.
Glory.
Remember, she come in there bent over.
Yeah.
She can't see anything but her shoes. If she had any. And when Jesus saw her. Remember, he's omniscient. He knows all your problems. He knows all your concerns. He knows all your problems and complaints. But he's a good God.
Yes, he is.
He's not lost. Some folks say, well, I found Jesus.
Come on now. Come
if you're saved in here today, you didn't find Jesus.
Come on,
Jesus found you.
Yes, yes.
He saw you. This is the picture of the prodigal son when the father, who represented Jesus in the parable, he looked out and saw his son while he was afar off. And he ran to his son. See, Jesus will run to you. He's just that kind of God. And it says, when Jesus saw her, that her is us. That her is us. That her is us. Male or female, that her is us. I always say nobody here was looking to get saved. If you're here today and I'm not looking to get saved, that's good. You won't ever look to be saved. In your sinful nature, you don't want to be saved. See, Satan, Satan wants you to feel that way. His idea is to get you into a church and make you feel comfortable where it don't matter if you're saved or not.
Come on.
Oh, I'm Vernon, I'm gonna talk about hell, heaven and hell today. You better believe that.
Come on, preacher. Preach.
See, Satan wants you to go to church. I don't talk about heaven and hell. Everybody going to heaven. Okay, how you live. Okay, how you die. Everybody going to heaven. Everybody gets in. You got your ticket. Listen to what verse 12 says. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him.
Yes.
There's that confrontation we talking about in verse 12. There's the confrontation that you have to have. Has Jesus called you? Have you had a conflict in your soul? This woman had a conflict in her soul. He called her. Some of you got kids, they all playing.
Yes.
Karen be all playing somewhere and you calling Cameron. And all the kids, they all, Cameron, your mama calling you, your mother calling you. I'm alright, alright. So we don't have an answer. God ain't going to force you to answer. He said, Jesus, and Jesus saw her and called her to him. And said unto her. He didn't just call her. See, we've been called. If you say you've been called. First Peter said, we've been called out of darkness. So you don't have to call nobody who's right near you. So I don't have to call Reverend Jones. He right here. But if I'm somewhere lost and in darkness, now I need a call. And I need a call. And I might be in trouble. This woman was in trouble. And she followed that voice. So you hear somebody and you in the dark, you hear that voice, you follow that voice. Where that voice come from, that's where you're going to walk to. So Jesus saw her and he called her to him. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah.
He didn't call you to me. Some folks say, well, if you don't get saved in this church, you can't get saved. No, if you don't get saved in Jesus Christ,
all right,
you can't be saved.
Amen.
He didn't call her to one of the apostles.
Come on.
Jesus is personal.
All right.
He's a personal God. He called her to him. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes through the Father but through me. Now, I don't know what some other preachers preach, but see, I can get up here and spend 45 minutes on an altar call trying to get folks to walk out. That don't mean nothing. I've seen more people walk the aisle and leave and never come back than not. Walking the aisle don't mean anything. You can do cartwheels coming down here. It don't mean anything. You can fall out with many tears, cry like a baby. Don't mean anything. Don't mean anything. Y'all have all seen it. Falling all out, covering up with sheets, speaking tongues. You can do it all. But if Jesus hasn't called you to him, they got books out on how to have an effective altar call. Oh, there's books out. I have one. I can get up here and go through it. And they said Billy Graham was one of the best at calling people down. And they start walking in droves. Don't mean nothing. Folks, it don't mean nothing. You can get saved on your way home from here.
Amen.
You can be leaving here and say, you know what? That makes sense to me.
Amen.
And God will save you.
Yes, sir.
That's how he operates. And when he saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loose from thy infirmity. She was loose by what? By the word of God. By the spoken word. He just spoke a word. He just spoke a word. And she was loose. She was healed right there. She was loosed from her disease, from her sin-stricken body. Now, verse 13 talks about this conversion. Let's talk about this conversion that you have to have. I was talking about it just a little bit in Sunday school because folks talk, well, you know what? I need to talk to that person about the Lord. No. You need to live around that person like the Lord. That person needs to see Christ when you're not. That person needs to see the Lord in you when you don't even know that person watching you. That person needs to see the Lord in you when you're going through your adversity, when you're going through your conflict, when you're going through your crisis. That person needs to see the Lord. You can talk to him all day. But if your talk don't match your walk, it means nothing. Oh, I was witnessing to this person, witnessing to that person. And then 5 minutes later, you cussing somebody out. Your witness means nothing.
Amen.
Because your walk talks.
Yeah.
And your talk talks. Look at this conversion in verse 13. And he laid his hands on her. That was unheard of.
Amen.
That was unheard of in that day. Especially for a disease-stricken woman. Back in that day, women was in the other side of the sanctuary.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
A rabbi would never touch a Jewish female.
Come on.
Remember the story of Samaritan woman when Jesus was just talking to him. The disciples were like, whoa, what are you doing? Now he laid his hands on her. Oh, we serve a loving God. A compassionate God. He laid his hands on her. I don't believe she believed she was saved. I don't believe she believed she was delivered because he had to lay his hands on her. He told her she was loose. Some of you loosed in here today. Been delivered and living like you don't know the Lord. You say you're saved and live like you don't know the Lord. Listen, verse 13. He laid his hands on her. What did he do that for? Because he's a compassionate God.
Yeah.
There's power in the touch. He is, as the woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of his garment, Jesus even said to himself, I felt what?
Virtue.
Power was transferred from him.
Yes.
Somebody needs some power.
Amen.
Somebody say, I need some power.
These
sins are just have me bound. These sins are wearing me out. And I have no power. I need some power.
Some folks
too proud to ask the Lord for power. Some folks too proud to ask the Lord for strength. Some people too prideful to ask the Lord for mercy.
Yes, sir.
Some folks too prideful to ask the Lord for grace. I need some grace. I need some mercy. And he laid his hands on her and immediately. Oh, not like these fake healers. You don't have to take no more pills. You don't have to go back to the doctor. You don't have to take no more blood pressure medication. When Jesus healed you, you was healed. And he laid his hands on her and immediately she was made straight. And what did she do? She glorified God. Listen. When you get saved, Michael don't have to stand up there and say, we need to have a meeting. You don't have to beg nobody to sing. See, you don't have to beg nobody to sing if they saved. Listen, my heart go out to you guys because I don't have a problem getting up here preaching because this is what I've been called to do. Okay? But when you have to beg folks to come to choir practice and beg folks to sing, you might as well just shut it down for a while because you're trying to deal with unsaved folks.
All right.
You can't get unsaved folks to sing. Unsaved folks don't want to sing. You can't disciple an unsaved person. And I'm going to use the word of God. Isaiah 51:11. See, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord
say so.
Look at Isaiah 51:11. Now, Isaiah is going to tell you how they're going to come if they really say this is how they're going to come. I'm going to wait till you get there because I want you to highlight this.
Yeah, come on.
Because you're choir director, listen. You don't want no unsaved drummer. Everything behind me is holy to God. You don't need no unsaved organ player with a sticker on his hand from So-So's last night. You just don't need no organ player who do this on the side. Playing God's instruments and worship music is not a part-time job.
All right.
You don't go to a graduation party with a beer in your hand and play hip-hop for 2 hours all the way to midnight and then get up in Sunday morning and sing in a choir.
Preach.
Oh, but I hear you. Yeah. We'll never get an organ player. So? Got a drunk organ player. Smell like alcohol coming in the house of God. Y'all got Isaiah 51:11. Listen to what Isaiah said. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return. Return where? They're coming home. They're coming back to the house of the God. And if you save them and redeem, you come to the house of God. But Isaiah, how shall the redeemed come? How are they going to come, Isaiah? How are they going to come? Listen to what he said. He says, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come. How are they going to come? Singing unto Zion. Unto Zion. They're going to sing unto Zion. And everlasting joy shall be upon their head.
Yeah.
Oh, sometimes I wonder if they are y'all passing out lemons at the door. Are you passing out lemons at the door? If you don't want to be here, stay home.
There you go.
Stay home. You don't want to be here, stay home. The building is paid for.
That's
The pastor ain't getting paid. We don't need you just to come out for nothing. Just to spread that lemon juice around. I heard old preachers say, you know what, if you brought a carton of milk into most churches, the time you leave, you'll have ice cream. Let me read that again. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return. How are they going to return, Isaiah? And come with singing unto Zion. We ought to be fighting folk in here. I want to sing.
Yeah.
Folk ought to say, I want to sing. I want to do something in the house of God. That's how you ought to come. If you say that the redeemed of the Lord.
Say so.
I'm under this persuasion that there ain't a whole lot of saint folk in church anymore. I heard someone tell me yesterday, well, you know, the pastor told us, you know, we got to come to Bible study and we got to come to prayer meeting. If you're saved, you ought not to be told that.
Amen.
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 Come on now.
I'll just be enjoying it.
Come on. 2 Timothy 2:15.
Listen. That's the redeemed of the Lord. Listen, that's in Psalm 107.
Come on.
Some folks say, well, you just be saying stuff. No, that's Psalm 107.
Yeah.
107, this is what it says. Psalm 107, verse 1.
Yeah.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. For he is good, for his mercy endure forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Why? Why should the redeemed say anything? Listen, why? Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. You have been redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You've been snatched out of the grips of Satan. You ought to want to rejoice.
Hallelujah.
You ought to want to rejoice if you know what happened to you. Some folks can't rejoice because ain't nothing happened. Ain't nothing happened. I wouldn't be here. Listen. Watch this. In verse 3, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of all their distresses.
Yes.
That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God we serve. So we say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Yes,
say so. We see that conversion. We see that conversion. Do you glorify God? Is the word of God sweet to you? I heard a lady tell me Sunday night at our class. I forget this is on tape all over the world. But we're going to say it anyway. Oh, I just love praise and worship. We praise and worship at our church for an hour and a half. No word. No word. Listen, you need the word of God. The Sunday service is for the preached word of God.
Amen.
Singing is wonderful. Don't get me wrong. I love music. If you know me, I'm always listening to gospel music. I love gospel music. But the word of God is what saves folks. Is what saves folks. Listen, let's look at this persecution that's going to come. The moment you get saved, I just want you to know. I don't want no one to think you walk out of here saved without some persecution. You better know what you're getting into. I'm not going to lead you down a blind path. You get saved, you're going to be ostracized. You're going to be hated, despised, and rejected of man.
Amen.
2 Timothy 2 and 12. All who desire to live godly in Christ shall be persecuted. The moment you say, I'm going to give my life to the Lord, I'm going to act right, I'm going to put down this and pick up my word, you're going to get some persecution. And you're going to get it like you never got it.
Yes, sir.
And you need the power of God.
Yes.
You need the power of God in your life. Listen to verse 14. Listen to this persecution. We're going to get wrapped up here. It says, the ruler of the synagogue. Now we talk about the ruler of the synagogue. Mm-hmm. I didn't get you a title for this sermon. Dave said, you ain't given us title in the last 2 weeks. The title of this sermon is Jesus Christ, the ruler of the synagogue.
All right.
See, this guy thought he was the ruler of the synagogue until the real ruler showed up in the person of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 14, talking about this persecution. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. Now, we like to say he was just indignant. I started going to these little football games, Pee Wee games with Ray and them, and I see some folks that's indignant. Pee Wees. Why my boy ain't playing and cussing and hollering, acting a fool? And I'm like, man, these are Pee Wees. Just indignant. That's what it means, indignant. Just ignorant.
Yeah.
Don't care who around you, just cuss it up a storm.
Amen.
One lady ran out on the field and cussed her son out on the field because he dropped the pass.
He's that.
Then come back like a peacock, like she done something. I said, you was indignant. I didn't say it to her. She was a big woman. Just indignant. This is this ruler. Indignant. You know, that's the same word. When Mary broke that alabaster box and poured that ointment on Jesus, that's the same word that the disciples became indignant. And Judas had the audacity to say, why would you waste that on Jesus? Let me say this, folks. Anything you do for the Lord is not a waste. Anything you do for the Lord. If you pick up some paper in this house of God, you're doing it for the Lord. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation and said, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. Now, that's not something. Jesus didn't do nothing but speak a word and touch this woman. And he fussing. The woman been coming to church for 18 years. That's dead religion. And you can come to church for 18 years and listen to me preach this Bible for 18 years. And it has done nothing for you.
Come on, preacher.
You just hell bound.
Come on.
I couldn't say that if I was up here just preaching and dancing around and singing. But if I'm preaching God's holy word, and you crawl up in here 18 years, 52 Sundays a year, and your spirit is not changed, you just hellbound. I'm just going to say it. You sit up under God's word 18 years. What's happening at the synagogue? The word of God wasn't being preached. You know what was being preached? Rules and regulations.
Come on now.
Rules and regulations. Well, don't do this and don't do that. And don't wear this and don't wear that. And don't stand when this and don't eat no candy. And all that's all they preaching. You got a little baby in here, they need a Cheerios. Walk up to a one-year-old baby, don't eat no Cheerios in the sanctuary. Buy you a good vacuum. We got folks, we pay to clean this church. Don't lay them off. My mother used to say, don't take that buggy back. You're going to get somebody laid off. Leave that buggy in the middle of the parking lot. You're going to lay somebody off. They need them. That guy hoping you lay the buggy. Taking the buggy all the way back. Now you take it back when you get a quarter. I dropped Ray off at the parking lot. I said, go get them quarters, boy. Ray had about 5 buggies in the snow. You know, they take them back in the summertime. In the wintertime, you can make some money. All right. Let me talk about this ruler. This ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath and said to the people, now here's a coward. I like that in yellow, if you got a yellow highlight. He said unto the people. He didn't say it to Jesus. He didn't say it to Jesus. He said unto the people. Why? Because misery always loves company.
Okay? He ain't gonna say nothing to me. Preachers, they'll get their little cliques in the church. They don't have nothing in this church. And they get their little clique. Oh, I can't stand that preacher. Oh, he preacher do this. Get up there and holler and scream and sweat. And they got their five or six people that want to hear that all the time. And he said unto the people, and listen what he said. He said, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, and them therefore come to be healed and not on the Sabbath. Now this woman been coming to church for 18 years. Hunchback for Notre Dame, been all over. Hideous figure, just ridiculed. I mean, he could care less about her.
Amen.
Oh, I know some preachers don't care nothing about their people.
Come on.
Oh, you know, how much was offering today?
Amen.
Could care less about the people.
Come on now.
Did she bring an offering? You know, Sally got laid off. Oh, he's not praying for Sally. He's looking at, that's going to knock some change out of the offering. He could care less about these people. Listen, and the Lord answered him.
Lord answered him.
Yeah.
Some of y'all think we serve a weak and soft God.
Come on now.
We don't serve a weak and soft God. We serve a confrontational God.
Yeah.
We serve a powerful God who don't care. Like I say, they don't crucify compromisers. If you a compromiser, you don't have to worry about getting crucified if you ain't saying nothing.
Amen.
You ain't saying nothing. You ain't making everybody happy. I want to make everybody happy. Well, listen, Jesus didn't make everybody happy. And neither did none of the 12. They killed them all other than John. They don't kill the compromisers. Listen to what Jesus said. Listen to what Jesus said. And the Lord answered him and said, thou hypocrite, you fake Christian, you actor. That's what a hypocrite is. You actor, you faking. Listen to what he said. Do not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass for a stall from the stall and lead him away to water? You know what Jesus was saying? Because he's omniscient.
Yeah.
And you go back to John 8, and the same thing with the woman caught in the very act of adultery. This is the same picture. And he said, he who what? Is without sin. Cast the first stone, and then they start leaving. They start leaving, and here's a picture of the same thing. And here Jesus said, did not I see you hypocrite this very morning because I'm omniscient? Take your animals out. And you know what? They tuck their head. They tuck their head because they have been found out. Look at verse 17. Real quick, verse 17. And when he had said these things, his adversaries were ashamed. Because he saw him. He said, I saw you this morning. You know who you talk? I'm God. And I saw you this morning petting your little favorite animal, feeding your little beta fish. You fed your frogs this morning. You know, now you're saying I can't heal this woman who's been crippled for 18 years. That's why they call them hypocrites. You hypocrites. That's a shame. But we know we have folks today that care more about animals than people. There's folks that spend more money a month on gravy train and cat litter than they give to the church.
Yeah.
I see them walking out of Walmart with a $35 bag of gravy train and get $10 to the church. That don't make no sense, do it. Dogs eating better than children.
Come on.
I know that's right. And I'm not against animals. I love animals. No.
Preach the word, preacher.
Listen as I close. Somebody say, thank you. Listen. So much. Let's close. So much text. You know, sometimes I've been inclined to say, do we have any questions? But I got a couple questions to ask. Just a couple questions as I close. What if you were there?
Come on, preacher. Come on now.
What if you were there?
Come on.
Whose side
would you be on?
Would you be on?
Come on.
Here's another question. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to answer them. You ask these yourself. This is personal.
Come on now.
Have you been redeemed? If not, what has you bound? See, if you're not saved, you're not redeemed. And if you're not redeemed, you're bound. And if you're bound and die bound, you're going to hell. Jesus come to set you free. He come to set you free. Here's another question. What excuse?
Come on.
After watching this woman with the spirit of infirmary bound, what excuse do you have for not coming to church?
Tell the preacher. Good question.
That's a good question.
It's a good question. Yeah.
And it's not an excuse that I want to hear. It's an excuse that you're going to have to say to God. Because, see, I want to be here.
Right.
Yeah.
See, I want to be here when God sets one of y'all free. I want to be here to witness it. I don't want nobody to tell me, well, you know, sister so-and-so got delivered today, got saved today. I want to see it for myself. I want to be like Timothy. I want to see it. I want to see a lost soul converted. I want to see someone come in here and receive the Holy Spirit and leave out of here glorifying God. And then after that, never miss a Sunday. That's what it looked like. That's what Isaiah said. That's what it looked like. When you're saved, you want to be in the house of God. You want to be in the house of God. You want to be in the house of prayer. You want to be in Bible study. You want to be among the saints. And when you're not among the saints, you feel out of place. You feel dirty. You feel like, why am I here?
Come on.
Here's the question. Does your life glorify God? Does your life glorify God? When folks look at you or ask about you, they say, and all you eat, drink, and do, 1 Corinthians 10:31, do to the glory of God, do you glorify God? Do you long for the day? Do you long for the day when you can sing? She sang. She glorified the Lord. How many have an idea of which song she sang?
Yeah.
Songs came to my mind, but I had this one and I wrote it down because I'm not a singer. I'm a preacher. But I believe she sang a song like this. I'm free.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I'm free. Listen. No longer bound. No more chains. My soul is resting. It's such.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Are you free today? Let's stand. Praise the Lord. I'm free.
No longer.
Are you free today?
No
more. Are you weighted down with chains?
My soul is resting.
The power of God to heal is here.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm free.
Yes. Glory to God.
Change.